Spending some time the last few weeks on the idea of joy. Gas is $4 a gallon, and milk is $3 a gallon, and eggs are $2 a dozen. If you could bottle and sell joy and peace, can you imagine the market, you see, using supply and demand? I think there would be quite a bit of demand for joy and peace. There seems to be a big demand today and people looking for joy and peace, and yet Jesus wants to give it away. It can't be that easy, people say. And yet Jesus wants to give it away. And yet how many times have we maybe even found ourselves in a position where, boy, if I could just catch a break here, if I could just get some peace, if I could just get some joy. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus, seeing the multitudes, and see, he didn't just see faces. He saw behind the eyeballs and saw people for what they really were. So when he sees the multitudes, it's not just seeing the crowd. It's seeing the dilemma that they're in. Went up on a mountain, and he sat down with his disciples. And he opened his mouth and he started teaching them, saying, see, he's teaching them, and the multitudes listening in. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Really? Yeah. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They'll be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of things against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because great is your reward in heaven. They prosecuted the prophets just like this. before you. Let's pray. Father, we read these words, but sometimes, like water off a duck's back, they don't seem to soak in. We often fail to get the full impact of what you're trying to drive home here, that blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And we remember that you're going to wipe every tear from our eye, and Father, we're going to be where there's no sickness, no pain, no sorrow. Yeah, sometimes, God, in the frenzy of it all, we must forget. Lose our bearings sometimes. And like Peter walking on the water, we start to sink. But thank you, God, that you just don't say, well, you didn't believe enough, so you're sinking. But you reach out time after time. Father, help us to be assured of these things in our mind, to set them firmly as the foundation, so that as your people, we might have this precious commodity of blessed joy. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Fellow joined a monastery to become a monk. And the deal was that he had to take a vow of silence. He wasn't allowed to speak. Every year, the young man was brought before the boss of the monastery, and he was allowed to say two words. Other than that, he had to remain completely silent. So, he went through the first year. First year, he comes before the director. He gets to say his two words, and he says, "Food cold." Another year of silence. He gets to come before the director again. He says, "Bed hard." After 3 years of silence, he comes before the director again. He gets two more words. He says, "I quit." The director said, "It's no wonder. All you've done is complain since you've been here." Beatitudes. This is the way Jesus wants us to be. This is our Beatitudes. This is the way we be as Christians. See? This is how we're supposed to be. This is to be a description of our character. These are the attitudes that we're going to have in this character development. This is Jesus' explanations of real Christian attitudes that all of the followers of Jesus are going to attempt to cultivate in our lives. This is who we are, not what we do. The Beatitudes are a description of the character of Christ, not a new and improved law. Some have tried to link the Beatitudes with an idea of a new and improved Ten Commandments. And postulating the idea with these new and improved Ten Commandments that Jesus has simply raised the bar. That he said, you know, you've heard it said, you shall not murder. I tell you that if you are angry with your brother, you're guilty of murder. So he takes the Ten Commandments and takes the law and puts it at an unattainable level. The world doesn't need more laws. Jesus knew that through the weakness of mankind, he wasn't doing so hot with the laws to begin with. External laws never change internal attitudes. External laws may change external behavior, but they never change the inner man. You can't get real change from the outside in. And that's what the law attempts to do. From the outside force to put pressure on people to conform. That never changes the real core of the person. All it does is conform behavior without changing the core. Jesus said the way to really change behavior is to change the attitude, to cleanse the inside of the cup. You ever seen those lists of little known or obscure laws? You know, it's illegal to walk across the street in Maine with your shoes untied. In Maine, setting fire to a mule is also prohibited, just in case you ever run into that. It's a good thing we're not in North Carolina, because singing out of tune in North Carolina is against the law. I could have been arrested this morning. And in Kentucky, a man may not marry his wife's grandmother. Laws never change the inner man. The Beatitudes are about attitudes. Now, beatitude is a word that means blessed. So that's why, you know, this morning we're talking about blessed joy. How do I get joy out of this? Well, how I get joy out of this is to conform to Jesus' attitude. Not to get these laws to try to conform to a behavioral standard. I need to conform to an attitude standard. The Beatitudes are really concerned with righteousness. See? Righteousness is the conformity to the mind of Christ. If you conform to the mind of Christ, behavior is going to naturally follow. But if you try to push behavior, you're going to miss the point of the mind of Christ. Because you can behave in a certain way and still resent it, right? I mean, you know, mom can make you make your bed every morning, but you can still resent it. She can dictate your behavior through law, but it's an attitude change to make you want to do that. See? The Beatitudes then are concerned with righteousness. And righteousness is just a big old church word that simply means right relations. Right relations with God. Right relations with our fellow man. And the first four of the Beatitudes, as you read Matthew 5, the first four deal with the relationship between humanity and God. The second four deal with our relationship with other people. being merciful, being pure in heart, being peacemakers. The merciful are those people who identify someone with a need. The merciful identify people with a need and then show mercy. Now, sometimes grace and mercy are confused. Grace is showing love to someone who doesn't deserve it. God showed grace to us. See? God loves us even though we were unlovable. That's grace. Mercy is showing love to someone, whether they deserve it or not, who is brokenhearted. Merciful is showing mercy to someone who is in need. Mercy is illustrated in the Samaritan, see, that helped the guy by the side of the road when the priest and the Levite walked on by on the other side of the road. The Samaritan showed mercy in responding to a need. Okay? To enter into the feelings of someone who is hurting or lonely or distressed. Isn't it odd? Isn't it odd how when we seem to need people the most, we tend to isolate ourselves from those who might give us comfort or guidance? See? When we need it the most, we kind of shy away. No one will hear that. I'm convinced that sometimes people cry out for us to look their way or give them a helping hand. But often our own inclination is to look the other way. You know, I don't know what to say. They had a death in the family, and, you know, they're neighbors, and we never talked. And so I don't know what to say. So, you know, we end up saying nothing. I'm convinced it's not in those situations. It's what we have to say, even as Christians. It's to show the compassion. Show up. Show up with a vegetable tray. Show up with some banana pudding. Show up with something. Let them know. See, that's the merciful part. Because, you know, quite frankly, you or I, really not going to say anything profound in many of these situations that's going to bring, say, comfort by saying something profound. The only way we're going to be merciful is to be there, to show up, you see, to suit up, and to play the game, to be available, see. Jesus said those people who notice, those people who are merciful, are blessed. What do you think it feels like to be blessed? You think being blessed would produce any joy? Oh, remember, let's not get too far afield here. Remember, we're talking about blessed joy. See? And you think if God says, look, you do this, I'll bless you, that the result of that would be joy? Seems like it to me. You know? God blesses me and would produce joy. See? I want to be pleasing to God. Would that produce? Yeah, produce joy. See? Blessed are the pure in heart. As I am showing mercy, My motives need to be pure. You change your life by changing your heart. You don't change your heart by changing your life. Changing your life is not going to change your heart. It's just going to conform your behavior to whatever the standard is. See? But, see, you make that a heart issue. You change your life by changing your heart. See? Change my heart first. See? Now, this is a condition of the heart. This is a condition of the attitude. This is a condition of how I'm going to approach things. So that blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, whose motives are pure. How do you treat the people who can do nothing for you? Who cannot, you know, when you know it's not going to be a quid pro quo. See? Jesus teaches that you change the inside, and what is on the outside is going to follow. But if you don't change what's on the inside, that outside behavior is sooner or later going to break down when the pressure comes. See, and we usually, even in the church, try and reverse that process. Because we come up with these methods and we say, you do this, this, and this, and then you get this. See? We try to change, we modify the behavior to try and change the heart. Jesus says, change the heart and the behavior is going to follow. See? And then when the pressure comes, see, there's going to be no question because this person has the right heart, has the right motives, has the pure in heart. See? Cosmetic changes are only skin deep. No law has ever changed a man's heart. Law can change behavior, but it can't change the heart. That's why Jesus is such a great blessing. He took these things and turned them upside down. That's why they said, well, this guy's got no regard for the law. No, he's turned it upside down in order to illustrate that it is the attitude, it is a matter of the heart. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart whose motives are pure. And verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers build bridges. I heard this week that John McCain is going to endorse Barack Obama. He's not going to suspend his campaign. He's just going to endorse Barack Obama to prove that he can get along with everybody. It's not quite. You see, there's a line here between a peacemaker and a compromiser. Peacemaker build two-way bridges, see, where two-way traffic can go. They discover common ground with adversaries and how to keep communication open and connect when others consider it impossible. Jesus said that peacemakers would be called sons of God. God calling me a son, I think that'd be, bring joy, you know, blessed joy. See? So how do we do? How do we do about being peacemakers amongst one another? See, let it fester. Do you sit down and make peace? Do you try to get along with those who maybe do things differently, who maybe even have a different opinion? Wasn't Jesus called the Prince of Peace? So wouldn't it stand to reason that his followers would be peacemakers? You think that's important to him? I think it's important to him to kind of get all this animosity out in the open and get it taken care of rather than carrying it around. See? Blessed are the peacemakers because they'll be called sons of God. Be a peacemaker. And lastly, blessed are those who are persecuted. See? Verse 10. Those who are persecuted are those who are willing to stand up for what they believe without getting defensive or without compromising. Be sure that you're getting persecuted for righteousness' sake. Don't just set out to be persecuted. Now, there are plenty of people who are persecuted for one reason or another, but how many can truly claim that we're being persecuted for righteousness' sake? If you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, Jesus said, you'll be blessed. So, you ask yourself, what is worth the persecution? Well, it's worth the blessing of God. It's worth joy. It's worth peace. Who knows? Who knows? But for such a time as this, you have been placed here. And you might be the only one who's willing to stand there, and you might have to face persecution. But who knows, just like Mordecai asked Esther, that you were not born for such a time as this. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, because they will be blessed. They will have joy. I started this morning talking about words, the power of words. 2 words a year. Bed hard, food cold, I quit. Jesus has some power in these words that echoes throughout the century. And Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. There's more here than just a surface reading. There's a process by which we have to make these a part of our character. Every Sunday, millions of people go to churches across the world and hear billions of words in sermons. And when it's all said and done, more is said than done. Quickly, what have we learned today? Be merciful. Think of others first. Identify with people in need. Think of others first. Be merciful. Make a difference. Test your motives. Your thoughts need to match your actions. Make peace. As much as it is up to you, make peace. The step to take is the first step in the process. We've got to learn to cooperate and not compete. You take the first step regardless of who is guilty of being wronged or who is guilty of wronging. You today take the first step to make peace. Are you going to get over it or are you going to get even? And what are you going to do with personal attacks? Because they're going to come. The key is to trust God during personal attacks. Christians should expect opposition. In case you haven't heard it, there's a war going on. After we've taken the first step towards reconciliation, either between you and another person or between you and two other people, once you've done this, the next step to take is to trust God to do what only God can do. When the storms of personal attack come, and trust me, they'll come, you and I can either be filled with panic and paranoia, or we can be filled with peace. Be the first to build a bridge. Be a peacemaker. Maybe you've been under attack lately. Maybe you're sitting here this morning thinking you don't know. God knows. Maybe you've had just about all you can stand. Maybe you're considering taking things into your own hands. Don't do it. Don't do it. Let God fight this battle for you. Look at Philippians 1:6. It's a promise there. Philippians 1:6 says that this good work that Christ has started in you, He's going to complete it. God will complete the good work that He has begun in you. Let God complete it. Allow Him to do that. You want joy? Trust Him. You really want joy? How bad? How bad do you want it? Bad enough, you see, to do what even the Beatitudes seems like, man, are you sure this will work? You know? Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the peacemakers. I tried to make peace and I keep getting knocked down. Blessed are the merciful. Man, I showed mercy and you know what I got for my trouble. You see? Blessed are the pure in heart. You know, I tried to do a good thing and I got accused of a bad thing anyway. Count it all joy. Blessed joy. 10:18. You don't have that joy? You want that joy? If you need to be immersed for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit who will bring that biblical joy, now's the time. 10:18, let's stand. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And